Welcome back to Wheel of SNES, Season 7, Episode 2, which is a total episode.
72.
A little cheating hashtag on that because we were trying to figure out what fucking episode we were on. Wheel of SNES, if you didn't know, you're going to know now. We're reviewing Super Nintendo games, but we don't get to choose which Super Nintendo game we want. We're going to spin a freaking wheel that's got all of them on it and hope for the best. And
sometimes the best not is not so good.
Then we got a ranking against themselves. We have 10 games each season, and then we put it in our final ranking, which has 70 games coming into this season. So this week we got Joe and Mac. Bunch of cavemen.
Cavemen.
So I knew Joe and Mac. It sounded very familiar. I seen the cover of the box. I actually own Joe and Mac in here. Pretty nostalgic to me.
Yeah. I actually remember playing the arcade version of it.
So, without further ado, do you want me to read the back of the box, Josh?
Yeah. Go ahead, because I want it to be all grunts.
Let me see if I can find my picture of it here. So, all the photos of the back of the box, I like to get the ones off eBay and stuff and read them. And they, apparently, there is a rule for selling Joe and Mac, is you got to take a horrible picture of the back of the box.
Oh, is it an unspoken rule?
I guess, because I pulled up like three of them. They all look like garbage. So, here it goes. Joe and Mac, it goes, "Hey, dudes, your babes are missing. Back in the distant past, way back, like when rock and roll was just rock and fast food was dinner you couldn't catch. Dinner you couldn't catch, yes.
Yeah.
Lived two cave dudes named Joe and Mac. Whether it was dinosaur demolition or pterodactyl hang gliding, life for the boys were pretty cool. Cool, that is, until a bogus bunch of Neanderthal nerds crashed their village and scared off all the cave babes. Now the cave babes are out there somewhere, lost and really lonely." And it has that with a bunch of E's.
Yeah.
I feel like that's earnest, like really, yeah, lonely. That's how, yeah. So what are you waiting for? It's up to Joe and Mac to get him back. Dude, that's a fucking banging back of the box.
Yeah, that's not bad. The ending was good, too.
Yes.
Nice little dive at it, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, I mean, I probably use the term dudes as more than a grown-ass man should.
Yeah.
I always say, cool dude, or, you know, I just say, I guess it's a little bit more Ninja Turtle part of me, yep, you know. So, I do like, I like it, dudes and babes, you know.
Yeah.
I probably don't use babes. No, I mean,
that's like a fully nostalgia 90 reference.
When I hear babes, I think of Garth from Wayne's World. Yeah. Total babe, yeah, you know. That's exactly it. So it is very nostalgic there. Fuck, that makes me want to run. That makes me want to play Joe and Mac.
Yeah.
Right, just a bunch of
cavemen
trying to get your cave babes back.
Cave dudes. Cave dudes. I agree.
So, this game was released in 1991 on the SNES. It was released on a lot of systems, Josh.
Well,
let's see.
I'm assuming the SNES.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Nine. There's nine. One I feel like is a trick for you, and one you got no shot. I don't even know what the fuck it is. So I got nine options. Okay. So you hit me with them.
I know the SNES.
That's correct.
NES.
That is correct.
Sega.
That is correct.
Arcade cabinet or whatever.
You're right.
Arcade cabinet.
You're sale. 4 for 9. You're off to a hot start.
Commodore.
No.
Okay. Really, no Commodore. That's odd. Oh, what was that other one? The Neo.
No.
No, no, okay.
You're missing one obvious one. Maybe two obvious ones.
Atari?
You're in the right path.
Okay. Not the Atari.
The Wheel of
SNES?
No, okay. So you missed the Game Boy.
Game Boy, okay, yeah.
You missed Amiga.
This was an Amiga?
It was an Amiga.
Okay.
Oh, it was on Amiga. MS-DOS.
Yeah, I didn't even dive into MS-DOS or...
This one's called Zeebo. Z-E-B-O. I have no fucking idea what that is.
Zeebo is.
And here's the one that's very misleading, Nintendo Switch. they got a reboot of it, which I think everybody genuinely hates.
And
I got to drop. This was just amazing. It came out in 1991. This is probably the... I don't really have fun facts for the game, but this is the funnest fucking fact that I've seen. It was released in 1991 on the SNES. It was released on the NES 1 year later. So how do you release something on the damn Super Nintendo and then release it on the Nintendo 1 year later? And it generally sucks on Nintendo. The gameplay on most of these that I was looking into are vastly different.
I kind of want a Z-Bo.
What the fuck does Z-Bo look like? Like Debo, but with the Z?
No.
Is it a computer or a console?
It's rated as one of the worst consoles ever. But it looks dope as shit.
That looks like a goddamn dollar store fucking Xbox right there. It does. That is what that looks.
Before Xbox was a thing. Like, whenever you turn it on, it lights up Z-Bo.
I gotta make a note here. I'm gonna look just because you know how sick I am with shit, so.
No, don't. I done looked it up.
I gotta look at what Z-Bo, what the games look like, and how many games.
I don't know about that, but one in bots tested and working with two controllers, $2,000.
Yep, probably not getting that. yeah.
You can trade your Earthbound.
We will not do that. Not for something called a fucking Z-Bo. If I got to trade it for something like that, it's going to be like a BJ or a hand jibber.
Or a ZJ.
No. So, yeah. So, the gameplay was different on a lot of them. I think Genesis is probably referred to as probably the smoothest. Super Nintendo did good. NES was garbage. I don't know about the Z-Bo. DOS, I feel like it was probably okay. Game Boy actually got great reviews from what I was looking at on Game Boy.
And then, of course, the arcade cabinet probably done good.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Arcade. But according, again, what I just read, Z-Bo was the worst console out there.
So I'm just going to go ahead. I only got two fun facts. I'm just going to go ahead and drop this one in here, too. So other than it being the first fun fact, which is the most amazing one, is it was released on Super Nintendo, and 1 year later, NES got a version.
Yeah.
Is the arcade cabinet was originally called Caveman Ninja or Caveman Ninja Joe and Mac.
Okay.
So... Joe and Mac, I think, is far better.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was developed and published by Data East. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I got excited when I seen Data East because they got some fucking banging ass games, son. I've got a list of fucking games that they've done.
What's that?
And I only knew one of them to heart just because I'm fucking little fangirl bitch about it. And I was excited, but I didn't know that they did as many as they had.
Super Black Bass.
No. I don't know that I ever played Super Black Bass, to be honest. I played the goddamn... There's a dude that does fucking fishing lures and shit like that. And he goes and plays fucking Black Bass. And then there's a guy that plays Black Bass while he's at the lake that is in Black Bass. And I'm like, I ain't watching none of this shit. Bunch of bullshit. So Data East, fucking, they are out of business now, or under another name. At one point, they were freaking massive, though. So they had tie-ins to Burger Time.
Okay.
Bump and Jump. Lock and Chase.
Sounds familiar.
Lock On, which I believe was a fighting game. Now, they had a bunch. I just picked the high ones. Karnov, NES game. RoboCop NES game. That was a fucking banger. One of the freaking best NES games with an awesome soundtrack ever, Batman. Little known one, Kid Nicky. Man, I played the shit out of Kid Nicky. And the fucking fangirl bitch of all of them, goddamn Bad Dudes, man. I played Bad Dudes on the NES. I played it on the goddamn arcade. Bad Dudes was badass.
So... Was their primary run just on the NES or SNES as well?
No, they did SNES games. They had several. They did a lot of, they did a Captain America and Avenger game that I think was in Sega Game Gear. You had Game Boy games. I think there's some Game Boy Color. They went into PlayStation 1. Okay. And then I feel like they went into like some kind of gambling games or pool. I forget. They kind of went to a niche at that point, but they didn't have a lot, but they probably had a dozen PS1 games. And that may have been a dozen between North America and Japan, but pretty big players. And I was looking at some of the numbers, and I don't want to misquote it, but like the amount of money they were worth at one point was freaking crazy. I don't know if they were doing like, it was like $19 million a quarter or $19 million a month in profit. So it kind of really sucks because I felt like, I guess when you look at a lot of these games, a lot of these games kind of are like arcade games, the ones that I like the most that came, that ported over, and that seemed to kind of be maybe what they did.
But, yeah. I bet you one of the reasons why they probably went under is if they were primarily arcade-style games. I mean, go somewhere where there's an actual arcade still around.
I mean, it ain't a Dave and Buster's or a freaking gas station from 1976.
Or a Mr. Gaddy's or a Main Event.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to have any time. Some movie theaters have an arcade, but that's it.
So, I guess to get into the plot of the game, you're going to say, hey, what is Joe and Mac? Well, they're these kind of hip-looking caveman dudes. One's got green hair, one's got blue hair, and I guess, I don't know what you would call them, loincloths draped across them hides.
It's loincloths.
And look, the more you know right there. So basically, their cave babes have been stolen by some nerdy Neanderthals, which... You don't look too nerdy from what I've seen.
Yeah.
And so what you're going to do is you're going to go beat each stage and go get your babes back. That's the whole premise of the game. Had a little cutscene to start the game. But you know what? It's kind of like just a little fun platformer game. I don't need... I don't need a might and magic lore to be put behind it. You're just a cave dude trying to rescue some cave babes.
Yep.
I mean... I'm going to draw some parallels in this episode here. But hey, what does Mario do? Mario's trying to get through the level, save a damn princess.
Yep.
So just because one ain't got a tiara on her head is one. I mean, it's the same damn premise. Yep. I mean, same it's premise. Proven.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Mario. I mean, to be honest, after everything I've read of Joe and Mac, kind of hard to hate them fuckers.
Oh, God. I forgot to tell you this. So, Knoxville has the Knoxville Fanboy, where you can go up there and meet a lot of people. How last year I met Kevin Smith and all of them, right? Mm-hmm. They have a Fanboy Gaming, Anime, and Comic Book Convention now. So it's split up in the two.
Okay. I seen the voice of Mario is going to be on it.
You need to go there, especially if we can get Stripper Mario.
If I can get Stripper Mario, absolutely. But it ain't going to happen. I don't have anything more, I guess, into making it. I guess at the end of the day, too, I should say it's a platformer. A couple of different game modes, per se. But it is as simple like you would expect a normal early SNES game to be. I don't know that I ever played the arcade, but I'd imagine the arcade has jump and attack.
Yeah, I remember playing the arcade. I remember playing it at like a Chuck E. Cheese or Discovery Zone, Celebration Station, something along those lines.
So the Super Nintendo follows that as of, hey, you've got jump and attack.
Yep.
And you can cycle your weapons.
Yep.
So you got that. So pretty plain. Try to get to the end of the stage, beat a boss.
Save a cave babe.
Get your cave babes. You want to go ahead and jump in to Make It and Break It, Josh?
Yeah.
I don't know that any of mine is actually in order on this.
Yeah, I know.
Guys, I was kind of all over the place with it, so I'm just going to run one. I bet you're going to beat me on some, and I'll just kind of go down.
But, yeah.
First thing I put in here is it has the charm that most Super Nintendo games have that are geared toward kids. Like something like, it reminds me like a Nintendo property. With whatever it is, you got cave babes. You're basically a goofy old caveman.
Yep.
And you're fighting other goofy old cavemen. And,
Neanderthals.
And what is it? You got to have a damn pterodactyl in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And you get one in the first fucking stage, yep. You know?
You sure do.
So, I don't know that you could like just look at either one of them and not kind of like them a little bit.
Yeah.
So like they got a little charm to them.
They do. The character design is very charming. It's very entertaining.
I did not put a plus for the sprites of it, but they were okay. They were good.
Yeah. The other thing I like is, for one, the soundtrack. The sound effects itself were good, I thought.
I put in here, I did put it as a make it. I put the music's okay. It didn't just blow me away, but I felt kind of caveman-ish.
Yeah, it felt prehistoric, you know, some drums and everything. I'm like, okay, I like this. It did remind me a lot of Donkey Kong, though.
I do have this in my make it as far as the sound is the first fucking level. When you fight the dinosaur, that goddamn roaring and screeching was fucking horrible. And I laughed the whole time. I liked how bad the dinosaur sound effects were. So I'm putting that as a...
I'm with you. I enjoy it. Look, whenever I heard it, I'm like, ugh. And then it done it again. I'm like, okay.
So one thing, too, that I'm going to put in here right off the bat, even though... Even though that I didn't get to play it like that, it does give you the option right off the bat. You can go easy, normal, or hard, and you can play one player, two player, or two player special, which the difference is there is a two player mode where you can't damage each other, and there's one that you can.
Yeah, friendly fire.
Dear God, how hard must that be?
There's no
way. Like, it's one thing when you run around with a damn club. I'm actually going to look at it. I've shielded myself from the speed run.
Yeah.
And, okay. So, just so you know, the speed run, because I wonder if they had a two-person, like...
Two-person plus?
Damage, yeah. Speed run is recognizing easy and co-op on easy. So,
No. So, we can be in there. We got another one we can do on medium.
I'm going to tell you, I can't beat this fucking game, Josh. So, I like your ambition. But I guess that's kind of the start of it, is we got to fucking
beat it. We got to beat it.
Which, I guess that's probably a make it. I didn't put in there. I don't know if you call it a make it or break it. The game is pretty fucking tough.
It's a get good game, for sure, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I thoroughly enjoy a get good game. But, like I said, I didn't get to throw a lot of time into it, even though we did have Snowmageddon here.
Yeah, the snowpocalypse. I didn't put any time during the snow.
I didn't either.
But, you know...
I was playing Marvel Rivals.
I was, sadly enough, I was Platinum and
Power Wash Simulator.
Power Wash Simulator.
Did you Platinum it?
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
way tougher fucking Platinum than you would expect.
Now you got to do your driving one.
Yeah, I do. I have it installed. I've not got it started. So one thing, too, that is pretty clever. Probably, if I say anything in this game is clever, I mean, you think of... Cavemen, Neanderthals as big dumb brutes, and essentially this game does the same with it. But the clever part of the game, which I don't think this game has to be clever, is I did like the progression of your weapons. So, I think there was like stones you get, you blow up some damn eggs. So you start out with just a damn club.
Wooden club.
And then you get to where you can basically throw like a rock.
Yep.
And then you get to where it looks like little flaming throwing stars. And then you get these damn wheels. That's where I'm like, oh, I see what we're doing here. And then you get the boomerang. And I think there was something else after the boomerang. Boomerang was kind of my thing.
Boomerang's where I stayed.
So it was all kind of like, I don't know, evolutionary as you progress through the weapons. They got better. But there were some places like the second stage where you're fighting the big... Venus flytrap or piranha plant or whatever that you could just basically fire down.
So it was the plant from
Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
Hey, little Wilbur.
Feed me, Seymour.
Seymour. I think you're Wilbur. I don't know why.
Seymour.
I will say, though, right off the bat, one thing I did like was the dinosaur in the first level.
Yep.
So not only do you walk over the damn dinosaur, is the dinosaur comes up, what do you think a dinosaur is going to do? It's going to claw at you. It doesn't do that. It's going to...
Bite you.
Bite you, yes. Didn't really do that.
Nope.
It's gonna roar. For some reason, I think it's going to shoot a fireball. And it did shoot shit, but it shot Neanderthals out. Yeah. So it's like, hey, I ate Neanderthals and I'm shooting these son of bitches out. So instead of a fireball, you were getting these damn cavemen flying out. Yep. And I'm like, I kind of like that.
Yep. It was weird. It was different.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily hard.
No.
The
thing that I noticed, and I don't know how far you made it to the game. I tried. I think I made it to maybe level 4 before I kept dying. And I didn't turn on cheats or anything like that. I could have god-moded it and went through, but I didn't. I didn't do any level select cheats or anything like that. But, you know, there's typically, like, a theme that happens in these platformer games where you go inside of something.
I've got that in my... I've got it in my break it.
Okay.
Yes, if you cannot enter into somebody's bunghole or their intestines of some way, are you really in Nani's game?
Yeah. I don't know if that happens in this game, so I don't know.
Oh, it does.
Okay.
It does.
Okay.
We'll circle back to that. Okay. I'll break it.
Okay.
So I got in here too. Another thing is, it's kind of cool, even though I did my dumbass fuck myself a few times with it, is when you die, you turn into a ghost and you kind of control where you want your ghost to go until you accidentally go right back to where you fucking died, where you fell in a hole and you hit the damn button and you fall right back in the fucking hole. And then you feel really stupid. It was kind of cool. You turn into like a little angel or ghost and you can move on where you want to go.
Yeah, I did enjoy that a lot. That did help out whenever you were fighting some boss.
So when you get to the main level, like I've got in here, it's very familiar. It has kind of like a Super Mario World top where you can move to your next world.
Yeah.
And you can get keys and open up other stuff. It got a little complicated for me. It wasn't as good as Super Mario World. No. I got here right after that. So it's kind of derpy, but I like it.
Yeah. It has a charm.
One thing I will give it a parallel with freaking Mario that was pretty awesome is when you're talking about like a platformer or action adventure or whatever you want to call it, it was very reminiscent of Mario stages to me because you had your traditional start at the left, work your way to the right, to the end of the level. And then you had a stage, I think it was like stage 3, where you were going up and down instead of...
You were progressing up and you had to jump down during the little paths and everything. It was
like level 5 or 6 where the level side scrolls, like when you're on the damn ships in Mario 3.
Okay.
And so, it was... pretty cool. Really? I liked it. You know, it had different gameplay. I ain't gonna say that it was like Mario Pit, but it was a lot of different types of the gameplay, like a Mario game.
Yeah.
So I ain't gonna say they copied it, but it was like that.
Well, I mean, Mario 3 came out when? 94? That's my thought. As I
figure Mario 3 is probably in a 91.
Is it 91? Well, say I can't remember the exact time it came out.
1988.
88. So yeah, they definitely
So
I thought it was a little later. Oh, was that Mario All Stars that came out in like 93?
It probably did come out late. I did put in here too. I guess these really go hand in hand. And I've only got one more thing after this, but I put, they don't overcomplicate the story. Uh-uh. And then right above it, I put, there's a babe at the end of each level. And I say, I feel like that's accurate. Because if a caveman's going to go out there and fight some fucking dinosaurs, there better be some pussy better be in order. It's what I've essentially got. So, like, you go, like, go fight that goddamn dinosaur. Fuck you. You go fight it. I'll give you some. All right, we're having a conversation.
Now, also, on top of that, here's one of my questions for you. Is Joe and Mac the only dudes in this entire village?
Like they're just hammered out like a damn harem?
Yeah, is it just them?
I didn't think about this, but you may be on this.
Is it just them?
Because the babes that come out at the end are kind of young looking.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm saying. Is it just them or did all the other people die?
I don't know. Maybe it was just them with all the bitches. Maybe they're the bad guys. Maybe the other guys are like, hey, we got to procreate and save this world.
Is that why all the Neanderthals have died off? Because there's no Neanderthals.
Maybe. Because
you know you had Homo sapien Neanderthals and Homo sapien took off. Is that Joe and Mac?
It could be. You're asking me questions I don't know. But it could be.
And then also, I have to throw it out there for my emulator that I use. Dude, my controls were fine. I didn't have any lag. I didn't have any really bad things to say about my controls. They were very neutral.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that. We'll
yours were bad?
Yes. I got in here as my last make it. I put the game as nostalgic game.
Yeah, it is.
I can't really tell you any remembrance of playing it at any one point that I'm like, oh my God, I remember playing Joe and Mac, but I definitely played Joe and Mac at some point. Yeah. It feels like a classic Super Nintendo game. To like, me, when you say Super Nintendo, this is a game that I think of.
See, I remember playing it arcade-wise. I don't think I ever played it on the Nintendo.
I don't think I ever played it in arcade. I was probably more of a Super Nintendo guy with this.
Yeah.
So, with all that being said, we're going to roll it into Break It, Josh.
Let's do it.
And we're just going to go ahead and say, my controls, now I'm playing on a SNES Mini through an emulator. My controls were not great. I mean, they weren't bad. You learn to work with them, but there's two problems. I felt like the controls weren't super responsive. And the other part, and maybe you get away with one of these and not the other. The other part that I thought were really bad is the whole game seems slow to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're used to, like, I mean, even Mario. I mean, you can take fast. Mario slow, but you can push Mario pretty quick, too. Yeah, go look at a damn speedrun on Mario 1. Them fuckers are moving through there.
Yeah.
And I feel like missing a run button or something. Like, I don't know, I just felt like the game, the enemies, everything, even shooting, the damn hitboxes, I feel like, were kind of off. It wasn't really off when you were looking right at somebody and you hit them, but like when these Neanderthals were jumping and you were trying to hit them, and you know, I got pretty cheap, I ain't gonna call them gotcha traps. They were just cheap hits by some of these bosses. It's like, how the fuck did I not get hit by this? Like, I tried three different things. And it was one of them where I'm borderline gonna get hit or not get hit. And I got fucking hit every single time.
But this also, I mean, I agree it was a little slow, but also at the same time, the way I look at it is, I didn't beat it, man. This game was tough. Could you imagine this thing with a higher speed difficulty? I don't think we would make it past level 2.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that it is a difficult game, and there's a lot of stages.
Like, maybe if your character had a sprint button, would be fine. But if they just increased the speed in general, it'd be a lot tougher.
You know, and the bosses were kind of fun, but the I kind of got bored of the same characters that I was fighting.
They were the same standard enemies.
I don't know if the difficulties make it or break it. I feel like the game is too tough, but you know, you're an arcade, you're damn popping quarters, you know, you probably...
It's a money grab.
I'm going to say that it's a negative to me, but you're probably doing exactly what you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So arcade, I don't know. I can't make my mind up.
Yeah. Arcade wise, I agree with it being the way it is.
Now, and this is one thing I think that probably is some of these arcade games, and not necessarily a bona fide Super Nintendo game, is I don't think there's a whole lot for me of replayability in the game.
No.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's where you're just going to hammer your quarters out. You're going just like an arcade game, just keep feeding it quarters. You show up. Back in the day, you were fucking rich if you had a $10 roll of quarters and you rolled in there. I was more like, I got 75 fucking cents.
I got
and a game three. I wanted to play was 50 cent, and I had to play skee ball for a quarter because nothing else was a quarter, you know.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, arcade-wise, I get it because, you know, there's certain arcade games. Like, I tell you the worst quarter suck that I've ever wasted money on in an arcade machine.
If I had to guess, I would say... Mine is probably twofold of the Simpsons game where it's a four-person fighter and the X-Men game where it was the four-person fighter.
No.
What was it?
Gauntlet.
Okay. Gauntlet is pretty fun.
Gauntlet is fucking great.
Going back and playing the original Gauntlet? Kind of tough.
Yeah.
Going to playing like the Xbox Gauntlets? Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of them like Mott and Magic where I feel like when the new one comes out, you know, the other one's like, it's hard to go back, but you needed it to get to where you're at.
Yep.
I've got in here another level, which is the last one, is that you're in something's digestive tract. And so I think it's in this exclusive Super Nintendo I didn't get here, but basically you're crawling through somebody's damn stomach and intestines and whatever the hell you want to call it, and then you fight a devil at the end. And I don't really understand that.
A devil?
Yes, it's kind of like a... hang on.
Is it like a traditional red-faced pitchfork-style devil?
It's not red-faced pitchfork, but it's definitely a devil.
Okay, okay. Was the devil behind the Neanderthals that's still in the cave banks?
I don't think so.
So he was just in there to fuck with you because he got mad that you had a harem.
I don't know, Josh. it's hard to see right here because this is a screenshot of a YouTube. But that is what the little devil looks like. It's like a little butt goblin.
Yeah, that's what
it is. A little ass demon.
It's heartburn. It's heartburn.
Look, there is a big asshole or rip in whatever that is.
It's an ulcer.
So I don't really know what to say about that, but apparently I think that was only in the Super Nintendo version. I could be wrong. I hate that you're Googling something right now about either asshole demons or heartburn or sphincters.
What was the devil and Joe and Mac caveman game? Oh! It's called the Heart Devil. Is the boss in the Joe and Mac game that replaces the mutated caveman. The Heart Devil has two phases.
A red and a blue, or a purple.
No.
So, mutated caveman, I kind of like that because you're saving him from the Hills Have Eyes.
Yep, and here's the thing. It was only on the SNES and the Sega. It was only on the consoles.
So, mutated Neanderthals where the boss is mutated. That's Hills Have Eyes, inbred shit. You may be onto something about that. Might be why they died out. So, Nintendo may be just, I don't know if I was going to say Nintendo's a little cake and ice cream.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't have the mutated guys. But I don't know that they would have a butt demon in there either. So
that's why it's a heart demon. It's a heart devil.
You know, in fairness, I don't know if you're going through intestines or veins or what. So you could be fighting in the fucking heart.
It says heart demon, so a heart devil, I'm assuming you're in the heart. I'm assuming you're in the chest cavity region.
Worst Captain Planet power? Fucking heart. If you said Captain Planet has heart that has a demon that comes out, you change him a little bit. That dude doesn't seem as frou-frou as was.
You mean you had a problem with molten earth?
Wind.
Fire.
Earth.
Water.
Heart.
By your powers combined, I am Captain Mullet Man.
Jesus.
Terrible show.
Shut your dirty fucking whore ass mouth. When you didn't have fucking channels to watch shit, Captain Planet was a goddamn national treasure. Taking pollution down to zero. Like the goddamn song says. Shut the fuck up. I'm done with that. I got one more thing. Last thing I got that was kind of weird, and I guess it's probably more like a Mario parallel, is being a younger brother, I always got second player. So, hey, first person's going to get Joe. Second person gets Mac. When I want to play it by myself, maybe I want to play as fucking Mac. Maybe I embrace fucking Mac. You don't get to choose. You just get fucking Joe if you're playing one player.
That is true.
I feel like that would have been kind of a...
Which, hang on. So, a lot of people say that, you know, like in Mario.
Can you really choose Luigi in Mario 1?
I think if you hold select and hit start, yes.
Hey, I ain't jumping through no hoops. I ain't jumping through. Just let me be the green dude. Mario 2, you got to pick the four. It was Toad, Princess, Mario, and Luigi.
Yeah.
And Mario 3, I don't know if you got to choose it either then. Maybe. I don't know. It's been a while since I played.
It's been a long while.
To be honest, I don't know if you can in a lot of the Mario games, but whatever.
Just so you know, I did not like Captain Planet.
Well.
But I did like my Thundercats.
Thundercats is definitely better than Captain Planet. I will agree with you. And there are people on that mountain.
And Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck is goat level for me. I had in fucking high school, this is how fucking cool this bitch was. I had a goddamn watch that had fucking Darkwing like this.
Yeah.
And you opened it up and he opened his cape and it had the fucking time in it.
That's the shit.
And people are like, that's gay as shit. And I was like, I know it is, but fuck you. You know?
Name something else that you have that's just cool. Hey,
this fucking pussy magnet. By pussy magnet getting none, that is what that was.
It's a repellent.
Yes. By the way, I've got a goddamn Jurassic Park watch that folds up in here. And you know what? I almost bought a goddamn fucking Looney Tune one that played music. It had damn Taz and fucking Bugs in it. Yeah. If it wasn't $40, I would have. If it was like $5, absolutely.
We talking? 10? Throw in something else. But yeah.
I've got nothing left on Break It. I mean, I don't know. You have anything left for Break It?
The only Break It that I have is you nailed it. The first one you said is the hit bots. Like, the enemies moving was harder to hit, even because I felt like several times, like I hit a Neanderthal or a Dino or something like that while it was like in the air, like doing the whole zigzag trajectory or something like that. I swear to you, I hit that thing dead center and it didn't do anything to it. I think the hitboxes could have had a little bit of work done to them for moving opponents. Your hitbox worked perfectly fine, I think, as a moving opponent.
I guess it wasn't, it was just like, I don't know, I feel like there were certain areas you were going to take damage no matter what. But when people were jumping or like trying to fight the moving caveman, pterodactyls, what have you, dinosaurs, especially anything that was flying down or when the cavemen were like cannonballing at you and stuff, really hard to hit them. Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know why that's hard to hit. I guess another thing is I didn't really like having to hold up to do like that little super spin jump.
I agree.
I figured you were going to say holding down in the button to drop down. You probably could fall out of a level. I did not test it. But I didn't think of you when I dropped down once as like, oh, this is Josh's goddamn spikes right here.
I did not hold down because, if I'm not mistaken, what I remember off of the arcade, you couldn't like do something stupid like that. So I never tried it. But just so you know, almost any other game that we play that is going to be sort of life based game, I am trying it. I always try it 100%. Like the Terminator RoboCop game that we played, I tried to fall out of the map. It didn't let me. I tried it with True Lies. It didn't let me. I tried it with multiple games and it didn't let me. If this game would have done it, I would have been pissed.
What about No Escape?
No, yeah. That's dumbest shit ever.
Did you ever watch that movie?
I did.
I've just got
to put it on our plates for us.
I just got it fucking in my goddamn head. Well, I think you put it on the damn Plex. The first one, I think, was the damn Owen Wilson.
I was like,
I text you like, wrong one.
Yeah, wrong one. I'm like, oh, my bad. Get the other one.
So there was, I've not got nothing left on Break It. I guess at the end of the day, what I'd say is the game's pretty cool. It's fun. And it's not like nothing to freaking write home over.
It's a good experience to have.
But it just, there's not a whole lot bad with it. There's not nothing that's like over the top good. It's just not a whole lot.
I think it's a really good experience. Like if you haven't played it or anything like that, check it out. You know, a couple of levels isn't bad. Like I said, you may actually thoroughly enjoy it. You may absolutely hate it. I don't know. But, I mean, I enjoy it for what it is.
So, to go into, there was a ton of reviews. But some of the reviews were, I did put one Amiga one in here just because I thought it was kind of funny, something that they mentioned. But, you know, one was, like, reviewed over Game Boy. One was Mega. One was Nintendo, Sega. Yeah. So
the Zeebo?
I don't think I've seen one on Zeebo. Super Play praised the Super Nintendo version for colorful graphics.
Okay.
But they wrote, the snag is there isn't a lot to hold your interest. The appeal starts to flag after a few minutes. The collision detection is annoying as well, tending to give baddies the benefit of the doubt. That's
100% it.
And gives them the benefit of the doubt in any clash of heads. I'm afraid this couple with awkward controls soon saw me adopting a couldn't care less attitude toward the game. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
But, you know, this to me is a great rental game. You're in it for a day, and then you're done with
it. And I said, the controls didn't bother me, but like I said, on my emulator, the controls were really good, crisp. They weren't super crisp, but like I said, I could hit them, and I knew they were going to do the action right then and there.
So I've got one more Super Nintendo and then an Amiga one. Super Nintendo review. This one was from a British television program, Bad Influence. They just gave it a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
And then there was a CU Amiga. Like C, not letter C, U.
Amiga. Yeah.
They put the games it's a lot of fun to play. Not, this is what the reason I put it in. Not as complete or as polished as Zool, but still a great platform game. Controls are responsive, graphics are good, and the sampled sound is excellent. I couldn't help but feeling these times of epic Amiga games, this one's just a little too limited. And you know what? Just kind of thinking about it, we may have emulated two different versions.
Yeah.
So your controls, I think we even noticed a Sega port versus a Super Nintendo.
I mean, my emulator is, I use an emulator that I can control with my personal PlayStation controller. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why I emulate.
Okay.
But the ROMs I always try to download are
like a SNES side.
Are a SNES ROM. So that's the only reason why. So that may be why my emulator worked a little bit better. I did fuck up that one time and accidentally downloaded a Sega ROM, which completely fucked me up. I had no idea what the fuck I was doing and everything like that.
All right. So I've got speed runs and price charting.
Okay.
I'm just kind of...
And the speedruns are all just complete on easy.
There's easy and easy co-op.
Easy co-op.
Dude, there are so many. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. I'm just now looking at the price what this game is. But as I top it in, you've got Nintendo, you got PAL Super Nintendo, a PAL PlayStation 5, which is probably the remake, I would guess.
Yeah.
So there's probably more than it's really credited with, but... PAL, NES, Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5.
So they've revamped this multiple times.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of people having an argument for bringing this game back, rebooting it, and I think a lot of people are like, no, leave it where it's at. I think it overall is generally locked game.
Well, I did read the other day, this is completely not, I mean, sort of off topic, but Bungie is apparently releasing a Halo 1 on the PlayStation and the Switch.
Well, they probably need to be honest.
That's what I said, too. if they want money, they need to start doing this.
Let me look at one thing here. So, there are a ton of fucking people who have speedrun this game. It's easy and easy on co-op easy. So, any guess on what a time would be? I'm looking through here to see if there's any funny names. Like this one guy's name is Shabazzle. I don't know why that sounds funny, okay. But it is.
Did I tell you about the character that I came across in Star Wars Survivor?
No.
So you find this guy. He's a little fish. He works in the little pond. His name? Can you guess what it is?
No.
He's in a scuba suit.
Scuba Steve?
His name is Scuba Steve.
Always an online game. Alright, so the last run on this game was 3 months ago.
Okay.
Guy came in 12th on it.
Ooh.
So you give me a guess at what time, and I'll tell you what the 12th place guy got 3 months ago. And he has a cool name. He's a Canadian. Junkyard Dave.
Okay, that's not bad.
Said Junkyard Dog. I like it.
Yeah. I would say about maybe 25 minutes.
3 months ago, Junkyard Dave at number 12 did it in 22 minutes and 54 seconds.
Okay. I'm getting a little better at guessing some of these games. So that's number 12. So I think a good speed run is probably going to be about 16 minutes.
It's closer to 12th than you think. They got these guys down to milliseconds in the top three.
Which, oh, dear Jesus.
Well, they're like full seconds off, so I don't
necessarily Okay, if they're know. Full seconds off, then no.
Plat Shadow out of Michigan, 6 years ago, 12th is the closest anybody in the past year has got.
Okay.
6 years ago, Platte Shadow out of, what did I say, Pennsylvania?
Michigan.
Michigan, I'm sorry. 6 years ago, did it in 21 minutes, 2 seconds, 440 milliseconds.
Okay.
Master of Hilarity.
It's not bad.
Pennsylvania, 4 years ago, did it in 20 minutes, 46 seconds, 450 milliseconds. And Strauss 12 from Iowa, USA, did it 3 years ago in 20 minutes, 23 seconds, 990 milliseconds.
Okay.
So.
That's just on the single player.
Single player, easy.
Easy.
Okay. On the co-op, what would you guess? It's slower. I'll tell you that.
I think number one time frame is going to be roughly 27.
Okay. 27 minutes. Well, Strauss, who I think was the one that owns the speed run, looks like Strauss teamed up with Tibitzer. I don't know where Tibitzer is on this other list. I don't think he is. They did it 3 years ago in 28 minutes, 21 seconds.
Okay.
And Salt Sponge and Merriam.
Salt Sponge, that's a good name.
Merriam is from New Hampshire. And Salt Sponge is just from the United States.
He did throw a state down.
28 minutes and 3 seconds.
Okay.
So, in my opinion, that's pretty fucking fast.
That is. That's very fast.
Like, I feel like when you're talking platformers and stuff, people are like, oh, it's a platformer, you can do it quick. I feel like that's really quick.
Yeah, especially since you don't have a sprint button with this.
So, to come back in, we're price charting now, Josh.
All right.
If you would like for me to tell you the most expensive Joe and Matt game, I will.
No, I want you to tell me this. You have it here. Would you sell it?
No.
Okay, then I'm not worried about it.
this is not the... I'll drop the hints. This is accessible to anybody's Super Nintendo collection.
Yeah, it's.
I would venture to say you're probably looking at it like it's probably more like a staple.
Oh, so just like if you don't have this in the beginning stages, what's wrong with you?
Well, I'm not gonna say if you ain't got this in the beginning stages. Boy, this, what is up with price chart? But like when I look at certain games and I see you've got Star Fox that you can buy for $25 high.
Yeah.
Why would you not have Star Fox in your collection?
Yeah.
Like, if you told me Super Mario World, and I know it's not, but, like, if there's a $50 game and it's, like, an iconic game, if like Secret of Mana is probably, like, a $100 game, I feel like you have to own that for $100. Like, for the value of what the gameplay is versus that.
Same with Super Mario, Mario All-Stars. Yep.
That's probably a $30 game with All-Stars and Mario World. One of the Donkey Kongs.
The countries.
You kind of have to, in my opinion, you have to own that.
Yeah.
So
Joe and Mac is that type. Like, it needs to, if you are a collector, it needs to be in there.
In my opinion, and I feel like I'm probably higher on this than most people.
Okay, so just a used copy, loose cart.
I would think for the fun that you get for the game, for what it is, I don't know why you wouldn't own it. But I can tell you at the lowest point that it ever was, if you would like, Josh, or if you could pick a random date.
Hang on. Let me get my...
Just so you know, I think the lowest price it ever was in August of 2011.
Okay. 72, Joe and Mac.
Neanderthal math.
I haven't threw that in there yet.
That's arithmetic, I think.
Yeah. All right. So, lowest it's ever been was when?
August 2011.
All right. Yeah. Give me that. I always need the lowest.
$5 even.
Five even.
It's not the lowest of low that we've ever had.
No. Okay. Give me the date of spring of, say, 2020.
Spring of 2020. What do you want? April?
Sure.
April 2020, $17.73.
Okay. I'm just going to call it $17.50. Okay. Okay. Let's see here. If you're saying this is a staple, game.
To me, it is. So I'm very nostalgic to this game. I'll go ahead and tell you the fun factor versus value. If you told me this was a $200 game, I'd say, fuck you. There is no way it's $200.
Yeah.
I feel like this game's probably appropriately priced. So, to me, if you can do your math, I kind of feel like you just go with your gut on this
one. Yeah, I'm going to go gut. I'm going to go 30. I ain't going to bother about math or anything like that. I'm just going straight gut.
You're high.
I'm high? Okay.
Shoot me another number out.
Okay. Then I'm going to call it 25.
They sell two of these. Price charting has this at 2 sales per week. It's actually on a $2.49 decline right now.
Okay.
A loose copy of it, $16.50.
Okay.
So, with all that being said, you want to guess at what a complete one is? 1 sale per week.
1 sale per
week. Once again, for what a complete copy would be, I feel like it's very reasonable.
Very reasonable?
Like, I wouldn't buy it at this price. But if I ran into it and it was, like, in pristine condition, I might not be able to say no. I don't need to own this complete, my thing. But I feel like it's an attainable price.
So, let's see here. Times that by 3. I'd roughly put it at 30-50 if I just multiply it by 3 without anything else. You know what? I'm going to say 34. I'm going to give it a little benefit of the doubt, a little nostalgia in there.
Complete one. It sells one per week, $69.99.
Okay.
But, you know, you're talking a complete Super Nintendo game that's not sports. It's probably a little high. Just so you know, this is just astro-fucking-omical. In January of 2025, Heritage Auctions sold a 9.2 A+ sealed. For $2,250.
The fucking cross.
Yes. There is a manual box, a graded or new, does not come anywhere close to that. So, with this being said, the new price, I'll give you the price of the box and the manual.
Okay.
I guess I should have did that for complete. I really fucked up, I guess.
We're good.
The box is $35.
Okay, yeah.
The manual's $8.99, so you're losing money to... you could make money to complete the shit out of that. Almost a... Double up.
Yeah, you almost double up. Well, hang on.
$70, you're spending about $43. You're going to lose $7 in shipping. So you're making like $25, $30. Probably more like $25.
No, say closer to $25 is the way I would run that one. So
what do you think?
Can't make a living off of it, but a nice little help every other month or so.
New price.
I'm going to say is, I'm just going to multiply this by 2. So 69 times 2 is roughly 138. I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah.
Sure.
Quit dirty math. That's what I'm going to go with.
A new one? It's 200.
Okay.
$13.
I'm fine with that.
4 cents.
Well, say next option was going to multiply it by 3, which would have brought me up very close to 200.
A graded one. Now, there's 2 sales per year on a new one. The graded one, even though there's one by Heritage Auctions for $2,500, they really show one per year at $234.
That makes a lot more sense.
So, I mean, when you're telling me a game I'm nostalgic for. Now, if me and my brother had played this like we probably played Mario 3 or something, I would buy it for $70 a heartbeat.
For new?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't remember. I could probably about bet that the Joe and Mac in there has probably got a damn rental sticker on the back where we bought it from the rental store when they were done with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, $70 for a complete one, I definitely don't need it complete. I sure as hell don't need it new.
But it's not bad, honestly.
A loose one for $16.50. Would you rather have the cart or $8?
I'm taking the cart on this one.
I can understand that if somebody said they want $8 that this isn't their jam.
Yeah.
If I never played this game before, I can understand it.
Yeah.
But for $16.50, I feel like you got to have it in your damn collection.
Yeah. I mean, at least a used copy of it. I mean,
yeah. I mean, that's absolutely it. I mean, I don't even know that you really got to have a good sticker with it or something. But I can tell you, I get $16 worth of fun out of it.
Yeah,
That's a lot better than a lot of games that we've played.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So at the end of the day, Josh, I know it's on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah,
we got Joe and Mac, and we got Nosferatu.
Nosferatu.
Is that your one, or have I lost your...
I don't know. I don't see it right here.
Wait. Here, I've got you this, Josh. You can write your name across it.
Oh, do I get my own now notebook?
Your own notebook.
Yeah.
You're a real boy now.
I'm a real boy, besides this little small one. Well, I was just using this one as the real notebook, but you may have to need it, because if you flip over here to the front of it, I think I got like some personal notes from you somewhere through there.
Who knows? That years after I'm dead, that
oh, might... this one's old, because this one says number one's Brett Hull Hockey. So this was last season's ranking.
Yep, that one's a bit old. So you got Nosferatu and Joe and Mac. I know where I'm ranking mine.
I do too. Yeah, I mean, there's no discussion, right?
You know, I can't off the top of my head.
Really. It's Nosferatu number one.
No, you've lost your damn mind. No, Joe and Mac is by far a superior game.
Of course.
And I'm scared because we've played so many bad games that I actually like Joe and Mac. I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm wondering how much I actually like it versus that. Plus, Nosferatu was a $200 game.
Yeah.
$199 fucking dollars. Yeah. And there's no way that game should have ever been that
expensive. No, it never should have been that expensive. Should have never been nowhere near that.
So, with all that being said too, Josh, if I'm going to say it one more time, with all that being said, I've said it like 3 times in 30 seconds. You got any predictions for what next one's going to be?
Sort of.
I don't know if I know how to articulate what my prediction is.
That's mine.
But I think I can explain it.
I mean, I think I know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's going to be an arcade port. Okay. Overall, I think that's what mine's going to be. It's going to be an arcade port.
Okay, so what I'm going to go with, and I'm going with the theme of the season.
Okay.
You're going to
arcade port. There's a theme already?
I think there is. I'm connecting dots. The dots may not be there, but I'm drawing lines. So Nosferatu, what's Nosferatu?
Vampire.
It's a knockoff fucking Dracula, right?
Yeah.
So Joe and Mac, I feel like there was several instances. It was kind of like a little bit of maybe a knockoff or a reminiscent of a fucking Mario Brothers. So I'm going to say that the next game that we play is going to roughly be a knockoff of another game.
Okay. Okay.
So, I don't know that I would say a football game would be a knockoff of Madden, per se. And I don't even really know what fucking knockoff games are out there.
But it's like Zool, which was sort of Mega Man reminiscent, or...
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be pretty, like Nosferatu and Dracula, there's going to be something like, okay, this is the great value version of the real.
There's something that's going to be very comparable to.
Yes, that's exactly what I think it's going to be.
Not going to lie, I love the fact that you have the DVD of the Super Mario Bros. Mario's Movie Madness, the cartoon.
Does they not look like the most derpy ones?
Oh, yeah, 100% they do.
Yes, I'm very excited about that one. Yeah. I have not made it into that one yet.
You haven't watched it?
I think I got it for like a quarter, and I'm like, I can't leave.
You can't pass it up. Behind. But yeah, okay, so mine is I'm going to go with an arcade port. You're going to go with one that is going to have a very successful, comparable, adjacent side.
Yes, and I've got to bring this in here with this DVD. You've got me shook.
Okay.
Do you want me to read the episodes that are on here?
I've done a quick glance, so yes.
Number one is Star Koopa.
Yep.
In a galaxy far, far away, the evil Darth Koopa has built a crazy contraption to destroy Mario Skywalker.
Yep.
Number two. Instead of Road Warriors, you got Toad Warriors.
Yep.
Koopa has stolen all the spaghetti sauce from Carland and drives Toad mad. You got number three, Robo Koopa.
Yep.
A little technology and a captive scientist turned Koopa into a mecha problem. Number four, on Her Majesty's Sewer Service, when secret agent James Blonde goes missing, Mario and Luigi go undercover to find him. And the bonus is Raiders of the Lost Mushroom.
Yep.
Mario and friends brave the wilds of Jungle Land to search for the golden statue, the last mushroom. So, I don't know. There's no way this can be licensed. But Josh, when you flip this over, I want you to read the part that shook me on top of that. In the bottom right corner on the back of what right it corner. Says.
Bottom right. The Incredible World of Dick.
Yes.
D-I-C, though.
I know. But I'm like, dear God.
That's funny. That's funny.
I guess there's no better way to sign off than that.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's a good one.
All right, so knockoff games, arcade ports, coming at you next week.